And the recordings have been started.
Thank you, Shirley. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the SCI call on the 3rd of June, 2014. On the call today, we have Thomas Rickert, Cintra Sukunan, and Ron Andruff, Ann Aikman-Scalise, Wolf Ulrich-Nobin, Greg Shatton, Lori Schulman, Avery Doria, and Angie Graves. We have apologies from Amr Elzdar. From staff, we have Julie Hedlund, Mary Wong, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Ron.
Thank you very much, Terry, and I extend my welcome to everyone as well. We've got a couple of items on our agenda to get after today, and I'm happy to see that there's a few things we're closing on. But before we go any further, I'd like to just ask if anyone has had a change to their SOI since our last meeting. Recognizing that Lori Schulman's just joining us and she'll be getting her SOI in shortly. Does anyone else have any changes to their statements of interest since we've last spoken? Hearing none, we will mark that in the agenda as having no changes, and we will move on to the first item, and that is the to confirm the closing of consensus call on the working group consensus levels. I'd like to ask Mary, because she shepherded this in the last days, if you might just give us a summary, Mary, of where we are and what's necessary in the next step. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks, Ron. So I think most people know, so let's just do a quick recap, that this was the language that was finally arrived at. And as you see on the screen, the highlighted yellow portion, rather than change the actual wording of the working group guidelines, which is what you see at the top part of your screen, it was felt that it would serve the purpose to simply add the footnote that's been highlighted with the further notation to the GNSO Council when this is sent back, that those guidelines themselves with the consensus levels might well be looked at as part of a more full review of their efficacy. So the consensus call was first sent out at the end of April, with a second one sent out a couple of weeks following. We heard from most of the SGs and constituencies and NOMCOM appointees. And in the last consensus call, we did say that if we don't hear back from whoever's left, that they will be deemed to have consented. And this was important because the SCI works on full consensus. So unless there's anything else, it was just pretty close. What I'll do is obviously run the language past our internal legal folks to make sure that there's not anything else happening anywhere else that requires us to come back to you guys. But the outstanding thing, Ron, I think, is that since we have other items on the agenda that may go to a consensus call, that any change to the GNSO operating procedures, including the working group guidelines, the idea I think we agreed on was that instead of sending them out piecemeal for public comment, that we would try and send them out all at once. So even if this consensus call is closed for this topic, you probably will not see the public comment forum open until we've dealt with the other items. And that's it.
Thank you very much, Mary. That's excellent. And I think that, in fact, I concur with your statement that those who did not respond on the list or whichever, it was tantamount to consensus because we made lots of entreaties to those groups. And I know for that the registry constituency, which has been largely absent on our calls, in fact, did Keith Drasek did approve that. So I'm very happy to see that work item now coming to closure. And so the next step is you will, if I understand you correctly, you will run that through through legal just to make sure that we're not conflicting with anything else. And then after that, we'll hold it in abeyance before delivering it to the public, to putting it out for public comment. So from a timing perspective, whenever the next two or three pieces of work are connected or are completed, then we'll send them all out. Is that your understanding, Mary? Do I have that correct?
Ron, that's
correct. And public comment, right? Yeah.
Right, and one of the, I think we had talked briefly about topics of conversation with the broader GNSO community and the council during your update session in London, And it seems like there are two things there, and I might be jumping the gun a little bit. Let me just mention them. That one, there Please. Seems to be other issues that come up. You know, we've seen this in the SCI, and yet a lot of the referrals that come back are, you know, single ad hoc projects. So there's a question of whether or not, you know, the operating procedures as a whole should just be looked at. And in that regard, the bigger question is whether that should be done now by the SCI on its own initiative, or even if it's done by the SCI, should that be part of the GNSO review that's also kicking off? So not that I'm asking for a decision, but that seems to be where we are. So holding the work that we have right now until it's all done seems to be a good way to move things forward while having those conversations.
I agree, and I appreciate that. And I think that discussion in London with the council will be helpful in that regard. So I look to you to provide some notes on that for us. I see Anne and then Avery in the queue. So please, Anne, go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Ron. This is Anne with IPC. I had a question regarding the review by legal, and perhaps I missed, in missing the last call, I missed a change in our procedures. Are we now going to submit all of our work to legal for review prior to recommending it to council? Thank you.
Ron, if I may?
Good point. Please, Mary.
It's a matter of practice that just all documents that go out, whether it's a report by working group or anything, we just let them know that this is what's going on. It's not for re-editing. And it's certainly not for any form of change of discretion from the community. It's simply, like I said, so to the extent there's an issue somewhere else, for example, or some other department is working on something, that we in the policy team in this particular instance gets notified of that. It does save us having to chase around after, you know, 16 different people and departments. And because most departments would run things through legal in the same way, they are in some ways the central repository of information about what's going on. And for example, not relevant to the SCI, but if the board is considering a certain measure that's been proposed by a different SOAC, so if to the extent that's relevant, then they let us know. So that's really the purpose. It's not for re-editing or anything.
Just follow up, Ron. Maybe I don't understand the sequence. It sounds like Mary is saying that we just send it to legal when we send it to the GNSO then in order to keep legal informed. It's not a question of not being able to send our recommendation to the GNSO until legal has reviewed it.
No, that's correct. I think your assumption is the same as mine, and that is, I think Mary is just making sure she's just running it by legal, as she said, because it's multiple departments maybe doing different things and make sure this isn't conflicting with something. In any case, it's going to go out to public comment before it goes to council. So I think this
right.
is just, from my view, it's just a dotting an I and crossing a T just to be on the safe side. And this isn't something that we are prescribed to do with everything we do. But because there's so many moving parts within ICANN right now, I think
so we just send it simultaneously to legal when it goes out for public comment.
And if it makes it easier, it's literally a 3-minute short conversation between
legal situations
yeah.
where that's not true. So I'm just trying
true.
To understand what procedure we are in fact adopting.
Basically, because right,
but we just
and,
send it simultaneously.
Go ahead, Mary. Please, go. Yeah, Mary, go ahead. Because I'm sorry.
No, no problem, Ron. Essentially, before anything is published for public comment, there's no real rule or practice about whether you send it right before or whether you send it during the deliberations. It really is simply whatever seems to be the appropriate time. So that's really all there is to it. There's nothing more prescribed than that.
So I understand our practice to be we will send it simultaneously with sending it out for public comment.
I don't have any much problem with it. I think what Mary was doing was just trying to, you know, sort of clear that, just check that box before we send it for public comment, but they can both go at the same time as far as I'm concerned. Maybe I can bring Avery in. She might have something she wants to add to this So, Aubrey, first of all, let me say I'm glad to see you on the call. I saw you submitted some responses to something. Appreciate you joining
us.
Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks. I used this call as an excuse to get out of another obligation. So thank you very much for having a call during this time period.
You're most welcome, madam.
I was going to comment on something else, and I still want to, but I want to comment on this. I personally think it makes sense to send it as soon as possible. And I think it's good to always pass things by them. I think it's good to pass them by them as early as we're ready. Sometimes it's even before we reach consensus if we have a question. But in this case, this is really something that affects PDPs, that affects decisions on what happens inside the picket fence, that affects, in addition, consensus policy, which is a contractual issue. So to have legal give it a quick once-over and say, yep, that doesn't change anything, is probably something that's worth doing as soon as possible. I see no reason why it would have to wait. And in a case like, you know, these things, I think the sooner we get their vetting, which is sort of a passive vetting where I expect that we'll only hear back if there's an issue, other than Mary saying, yep, they saw it, no issue. I think it's a good thing to just get it out of the way as quickly as possible, as opposed to waiting until the comment period. I don't think this is an issue. I don't believe it's an issue. But anything that has to do with defining consensus and a consensus policy that affects registry, and possibly registrar contracts should be passed by them, just for sanity's sake. Now, that was the extra point I wanted to make. Let me see if I can remember my other.
Thanks for sharing that. Go
so,
ahead.
Yeah, if you wanted to go back to, you know, just to make sure that this topic was closed before I went on.
Go ahead. I think, Aubrey, Ann and I are communicating in the chat, so I think we're good to move forward on that. Thank you.
Now I'm trying to remember what we were talking about when I raised my hand, because I did have a completely different point I wanted to make on something. On the issue of us looking, the combining of the issue of us grouping a couple things together before we send them to the GNSO for approval, and the review of the whole operations manual. I think that those two issues should be divorced. I think that we should probably, will most definitely have to, or whoever's on the SCI at the time, will have to look at that in light of the review. But the review is many months to a year before it's resolved. And A, I don't think we should do a review of the book before then, because that would just, you know, we'd review it and then we'd end up changing, so we'd end up doing it twice. But these other point changes that are either issues that were requested or issues that come up as a problem, while I agree with batching them so that we're not constantly doing comments, I don't think that we should delay them a year, and I don't think we should do the review of the book before we've had the review. So, you know, I would divorce those two issues is what I'm arguing. Thank you.
Thanks, Aubrey. I think from my own personal point of view, I agree. We're going into GNSO review right now. So as a result of that, and we're, you know, there's some work parties and work groups involved in that. So this may be part of that. But we'll discuss this with the council when we're face-to-face in a couple of weeks. All right, then. Unless Anne has any more. Okay, thanks. Don't think legal should delay recommendations. Great. All right, so then as far as the confirming closing of consensus call for working group consensus levels, unless there are any other issues anyone would like to raise, I will close this topic, but I leave the floor open for another couple of seconds if someone wants to raise their hand to discuss more. Otherwise, I think we've covered the ground on this consensus work, and I'm very grateful to all of the members for really drilling down deeply on this one and making sure that we send something back that makes sense, and I'm very proud of the fact that we found ourselves just adding a footnote here instead of making a change, because it was a very significant change. So congratulations to all of you for the good work, and thank you for that. All right, so moving on then, we are on item number 3 on the agenda. It's the finalization of proposed language for waivers of exceptions in preparation for formal consensus calls.
And Ron, I apologize. This is Julie Hedlund, and I apologize for not raising my hand, but I've been kicked out of the Adobe Connect room, and I'm trying to but that means
ahead,
I
Julie.
Cannot raise my hand, and I also can't bring up the document. So I'm very, very quickly trying to get back to where I'm supposed to be, and that's why you're not seeing anything on the screen right now that's useful.
Well, one of your colleagues has helped you, I think, with that, because a document has just appeared. I'm not
wonderful.
Sure.
And I'll keep trying to get back in. Thank you very much.
Very good. Thanks, Julie. All right. So we have this, and we had a subgroup that was working on this document. And I want to thank Mary also for really staying on top of these elements over the last period and getting the information out to us to talk about it today. And this is we're reflecting here on the language for which the 10-day rule. Let me see. I'm actually looking between two documents simultaneously. In fact, maybe I'll just go to you, Mary, because you were the one that sent this out, if I'm not mistaken, with this fresh language. Perhaps you can bring us up to speed on that.
Sure. Although, Ron, I was going to actually punt this and defer to Greg, who did the last turnaround, the actual language.
In fact, why don't you do that? I'm sorry to interrupt you, but yeah, absolutely. I realize now that Greg was the final submitter of this, and that was very helpful. So please, I beg your pardon, Mary. Greg?
Not at all.
Thank
Hi, it's
you.
Greg Shatton.
Greg?
I am here. We've seen this language a couple times before. We've tweaked it now so that it will work with the resubmission rule, and that's going to be just a minor change. And I think that, as it stands now, this allows for a motion to be submitted within the 10-day blackout period, as long as it's submitted 24 hours in advance of a council meeting, and it's flagged with the request for consideration of a late submission. The request for consideration needs to be voted on first on the agenda before the actual motion itself can be considered, and that needs to be a unanimous vote, both a full vote in the sense that every seat has to vote and it has to vote in favor. So that is, I think, the pretty much the explanation of what's going on here.
Thanks, Greg. Aubrey, I see your hand is raised. Please go ahead.
Thank you. And I apologize for this, but I just realized it again while I was reading it in combination with the other proposal that's being put forward for the possibility of voting between meetings. And what occurred to me and what I wanted to bring up and wanted to ask people, so I'm not putting an objection to this in any sense, but what I wanted to ask people is, now that we are going to be discussing, without presuming that it will be approved or not approved or anything, but now that we're considering that it's possible to take a vote at some time other than during a meeting, I'm wondering if a phrase here that says the motion shall be considered at the next GNSO council meeting is basically being too specific. And because it may, we may in the next month be adding another procedure for possibly taking a vote, which will have its own conditions, et cetera. Basically, I was wondering whether it makes sense, and I'm sure this is not proper legalese, so someone might have to tweak what I'm saying, but basically shall be considered at a later time. And that leaves it open for someone to, you know, withdraw the motion, to change the motion, or to sort of argue for, yes, we understand that people need to go back to their constituencies and stakeholder groups to check on this, but we would like to plan for a call at another time. So, in other words, that we're not, again, this whole idea of not making a fixed rule, or not making a rule that's based on a fixed condition when there may actually be multiple conditions that would resolve it. So, as I say, if people want to continue with it as it is, I'm not going to enter, you know, a sort of thing, but I was just basically, especially since they're going to go together, you know, this one, that one, and maybe the next one, if we, I don't know if I'm still on, I heard a funny noise, if we basically wanted to basically pause this while we, you know, go on to other work, and then come back, or we can just change it to at a later time and leaving it open and then call it done. So it just occurred to me on rereading it for today's meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Aubrey. I always saw this element myself, and I'd like other committee members to give me their thoughts on this if I'm off base or on base on this one, but I always saw this as kind of an extra tool in the toolbox for the council chair to pull that tool out in those extraordinary circumstances. But this was not something that was a regular activity. And for that reason, I was comfortable with the idea of putting a tighter framework around it just to make sure that it didn't become a place where people could use it to stretch things and to do things that, you know, different SOs, ACs, constituencies, whoever they might be, to try to, you know, the old phrase we use is game the system. So that I kind of saw this as, again, a very narrow activity. It happened irregularly, and it was really at the chair's discretion. So that's something I would put out there. And I wonder, what do you think? I see Anne and Greg are in the queue. Maybe others might comment on that, on my view, whether I see it rightly or wrongly. So please, Anne, why don't you go ahead, and then we'll follow you with Greg.
Yes, thank you, Ron. It's Anne with IPC. I tend to agree with Aubrey. I probably would not use the language just at a later time. I would probably say shall be considered at the next NSO council meeting or, you know, if appropriate, under the rules in, you know, for e-voting. In other words, however, I'm sure Mary would do a better job of drafting that than I would. If we were going to use really general language like at a later time, I would just say pursuant to the, you know, operating procedures to encompass all of them. I think there was a case of a motion where a meeting had to be called. And I honestly think what went on was IPC, for example, and Greg will have more to say about this, was, I think, correctly standing on the procedure, but then there had to be a special meeting called to vote on something that probably under the new e-voting procedure would have been appropriate for email voting rather than calling a meeting. So I'm sure Greg can, you know, mention more about that, and I think Aubrey as well. But it seems to me that it probably should be considered here in the very last yellow section there that should be slightly modified. So I tend to agree with Aubrey. Thank you.
Thanks, Anne. So when you say that very last section, you're referring effectively to the last sentence begins, if these requirements are not met. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you very much. So Greg has offered something in the chat, and Thomas as well, but Greg's next in the queue, so please, Greg, the floor is yours.
Hi, it's Greg Shatton. When we put this language in, the group that was working on this, the idea was basically to indicate that if it failed this special waiver process, then it would be considered timely submitted for the next meeting. This was not intended to restrict how a motion would be dealt with. It was not meant to say that the only way that such a motion could be dealt with was at the next regularly scheduled council meeting. Rather, it was intended to be, in essence, kind of permissive, which is, oh, you tried to beat the deadline that you missed, and you didn't beat the deadline that you missed, so now you're on time for the next train. That's all. Not to say you can only be on the next train, but rather that since you have made a submission, you know, you can deal with it on the next train. Now, if we put a special train on before the next meeting, this was not to say, oh, it can't be dealt with this way. So the language I've suggested, I think, more explicitly expresses the idea that we had, which is that it's considered timely submitted for the next meeting. That doesn't mean that a special meeting couldn't be called at which it was considered. That doesn't mean that it couldn't be dealt with on an e-voting process. But I think this just strictly speaks to the fact that the late submission is too late for this meeting, but it's considered on time for the next one. Because I don't want to park this on the side while the e-voting issues are dealt with. I think this is pretty ripe. I don't think that what I've proposed would have any effect, pro or con, on dealing with an unaccepted late motion on an e-voting process or at a special meeting. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. That clarifies a lot, and I appreciate the way you've encapsulated it as a clean element. I'm going to come to Aubrey, but Thomas, you had put a note in as soon as practically possible. With what Greg has just said right now, can I look to you, Thomas, to get your feedback on what you just heard?
Well, I guess that Greg's suggestion more accurately reflects the intention than my attempt that I posted in the chat. Having heard what Greg said, I was wondering, though, whether we should just say according to the, or should be considered according to the rules applying for GNSO Council meetings, because that would allow then for voting and other mechanisms that could put place that could place them outside virtual or physical GNSO Council meetings.
I see Anne likes that idea. Perhaps I can ask Greg and then Aubrey how you feel about that recommendation. I think that's a good solution, very elegant. Greg?
Well, I guess the issue is if there's no event yet scheduled, you know, then I'm concerned that we're now saying it's kind of timely submitted for something that doesn't yet exist. The reason I think that it makes sense to say it's timely submitted for the next meeting is that the next meeting is on the calendar. So I think that if there's nothing on the calendar, you can't say that it's timely submitted for it.
Very good point.
I would want to deal with that separately.
Yeah.
Very good.
Okay.
Great. Aubrey, and then followed by Mary. Thank you.
Okay,
go ahead,
thank
Aubrey.
Thank you. Yeah, first of all, there was no intention of putting in this at the next possible time so that something could be built in for gaming. And in fact, I'm very concerned now that we started talking about it. I'm getting more concerned about it by the moment, is that I can see somebody forcibly delaying it until the next meeting, even really all they needed was a week to check with their constituency because the rules say, but no, it shall be considered. Shall be. You know, that shall be is a pretty definite word. Shall be considered at the next GNSO meeting. It doesn't allow you any leeway to do anything else. It says it shall be considered. You know, what about if you withdraw it? I'm not sure. It shall be considered at the next GNSO meeting. So now I liked Thomas's language almost because I think that instead of being according to the rules of meetings, it should be according to the rules for motions. Because if e-voting happens, and I'm not presuming it happens, but I'm also basically looking for a general statement as opposed to a specific statement that, you know, it should be considered, you know, perhaps, you know, according to, the rules for motions as stated in the operating procedures. And then it leaves it definitive. The next meeting is indeed the next opportunity, unless another opportunity is defined. But I am absolutely positive that if that were to happen and we only needed another week's worth of consideration for going back to a constituency or a stakeholder group, and someone says, yeah, but it says it shall be considered at the next meeting, it doesn't allow for the use of the e-voting procedure in this case. And that, to me, sounds like we're building in a block to other possible procedures. So the more I think about it, the more it looks to me. But I'm not suggesting necessarily parking it. If we put in a general phrase like that, we don't have to park it. I was just thinking that it was being batched with other stuff, so it was parked anyway. Thank you.
Ron, are you on mute?
Thanks, Aubrey. I'm sorry. I had a little trouble getting off mute. Go ahead, Mary, please, your next in queue, and then followed by Thomas.
Thanks, Ron. Just two quick points. One to follow up on Greg's and the other on Aubrey's. The first is that in the operating procedures, there is a requirement, and so far it's never been a problem as far as I know, that the GNSO Council meetings have to be scheduled, I think maybe up to 12 months or a year in advance. They often are changed around or rescheduled or even canceled, but there is a schedule, and that's part of the requirements of the operating procedure, so maybe that's helpful on that point. On Avery's point, I guess the way that it works here is that if all the votes have to be unanimous, it pretty much can be as a deferral. But in relation to the electronic voting outside a meeting question, I seem to recall that draft does presume that there must have been discussion, and that discussion can take place outside the council meeting, but there has to be some sort of substantial discussion prior to that sort of vote being called. So I wonder if by having Greg's or Thomas's latest language and basically saying, in effect, that, okay, we can't consider at this meeting, it's considered a timely submission for whenever the next meeting is, that still allows flexibility with the voting rules, including the e-voting possibility, without any further risk.
Thanks, Mary. Thomas? Anne seems to like...
Thanks, Ron. I had suggested another variation in the chat, which is a combination of Greg's original language plus my suggestion, and I'm more than happy to even tweak it further by honoring Aubrey's request to replace the words GNSO Council meeting to the GNSO Council operating procedure, so that we have that formally correct in the language. And I think that Greg is absolutely right that we need to tie this to a specific event. Maybe this combination could do the trick. So I've seen support by Anne and Aubrey. So, Ron, maybe you could ask the group whether there's somebody or anybody objecting to this suggested language. And if that was not the case, I think we would have something that we could all work with. Greg is against it. Bummer.
I'm sorry, Greg is next in the queue, so let's go ahead. Greg, please go ahead with your thoughts.
Yeah, I just think that the language, the additional part of the language that Thomas suggested is unnecessary. It will always be all this is saying is that it is a timely submission for the next meeting. It's not saying that it can't also be proposed for email voting, though that may or may not be – it may or may not qualify for that. That's not to say that somebody can't call for a special meeting just to consider this, but this is dealing with a very specific event, which is that a motion is submitted late. A motion is submitted with a request for consideration as a late motion. The request for consideration is voted on by the GNSO Council, and it fails, which means that it can't be considered at that that the motion itself cannot be considered at that meeting. So the question is now, what is the status of that motion? Does it need to be submitted again for the first time for the next meeting? We thought that was overly technical. So the end result is to say that, okay, it is timely submitted for the next meeting. That does not preclude putting on a special meeting to consider it or to propose it if it applies to the email voting. But I don't think there's any need to say that it's going to be dealt with as a motion, because clearly it kind of goes without saying what else would it be dealt with as, a pancake? So I think that it just should be it's considered timely submitted for the next GNSO Council meeting and leave it at that. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. So, Thomas, are you going to have the last word on this, and then we'll try to wrap this up a little bit. Go ahead.
Thanks. I hope that my words are not going to be the last word on this one. I hope that Greg is just going to say yes to what I'm suggesting, because, Greg, I guess this is a follow-up question to your analysis, which, as Sintra mentioned in the chat, is a good one. I heard you saying that you deem my suggested additional language redundant, and I think if it's just redundant, you might still be able to live with it. You know, we've been working on this issue quite intensively over quite a substantial period of time, and I think that it might be difficult for the reader of the revisited policies to absorb what was meant and what was said and what was what the implications of all this were. So I think if we can help the reader to better understand that there's no requirement to deal with this at the next physical or telephone meeting by the council, but that it can be dealt with according to the rules applying for motions, I think that might help people better understand how to apply this policy. So I think if you're not necessarily against this, you might be able to say, okay, it's redundant, but still I don't care that much.
Greg, I'm going to give you the floor in a second, but I wanted to comment on what Thomas just noted. And I think let's just look at where we are. All of that yellow text is what we're discussing right now, but everyone agrees on the first opening and the three bullets. It's just this last sentence. And Anne pointed out quite rightly, if you look over to the right under notes and the actions, you'll see option A, option B, and the option B language does look like it might fulfill what we're talking about here. It's really about is this motion timely or not timely, and is it attached to a meeting or not attached to a meeting, and that seems to be what we're discussing here. So Greg has his hand up, so I'm going to let him speak to that, and then we need to take a decision how we want to progress this and get on to our next topic. So, Greg, please go ahead.
Thanks. I guess my concern is that, you know, it's not just redundant, but I don't see what it does. I don't see how it clarifies anything when all we're saying is that the motion is going to be timely for the next GNSO Council meeting. And my concern is if you do add language to something, then people need to figure out what that language means. What does that language do? And I can't see what the language does. So I don't even necessarily think it's redundant, because I don't think it repeats anything earlier. I think it doesn't do anything. Which I think what it does do then is makes for confusion, because if it doesn't do anything, why is it there? And if it does do something to change what comes before, what is it doing? And I still don't understand how it adds or changes what's before it. Thank you.
Greg, if you look at what I suggested there, option B, if these requirements on the right-hand side of our screens, if these requirements are not met, the motion shall be considered timely, submitted for the next GNSO Council meeting. Do you have any problem with that language?
It looks perfect to me.
Thank you. I see Anne. I see Aubrey. Please, Anne.
Yes, thank you, Ron.
And I'd ask you the same. I'm sorry, Anne. I'd ask you the same question. Would that option be, do you have any trouble with that language?
A bit of trouble, because I think we're avoiding the substantive issue that Mary described earlier. I believe that Greg's logic is correct. However, I think that one could then get into a debate with in this situation as to whether or not the particular motion could be voted on by e-voting. And in our draft language for that, we've said that the chair determines that. The substantive issue that Mary raised is kind of an important one, because in e-voting, we talked about full discussion being a condition of e-voting. And so there is interplay between these two provisions. And so on one hand, we seem to be saying, hey, that's not going to prohibit e-voting, choosing option B. But on the other hand, I don't think it clarifies that question either way, or that we have discussed that question substantively. Under option B. I think under option A, probably you're saying, yeah, e-voting is okay. I'm not sure you're saying that under option B. And lastly, I'm not sure we've adequately considered the substantive issue of full discussion that applies to e-voting, because how do I know we wouldn't want to say, shall be considered timely submitted for the next GNSO council meeting and should not be the subject of e-voting in between the two meetings. My original assumption was that would be fine, but then I thought, well, wait, that's a substantive decision.
All right. So I'm gonna ask Aubrey to speak. We'll draw a line on this one, and then we're actually going to move to that next topic. And so we see that they are kind of conflated. So Aubrey, please go ahead first, and then we'll take the next step on this one.
Yeah. So I believe that they are somewhat conflated, but I don't see a problem. And yet it takes stepping back and looking at a case. We have a case here that someone submitted something late because something needed to be done. They're not going to do it just because, oops, I forgot to submit on time, and therefore I'm submitting late. There's something that needs to be done. Now, within the case example I'm building, for example, it's the standard question we get is, I haven't had time to consult with my constituency. They may have actually spent an hour during the meeting talking about it. It came up, they talked about it, and there's been a discussion. Several bodies need to go back to the constituencies before they could actually vote on it. But it's something that needs to be done. Now, within the other decision that we haven't gotten to yet on e-voting, if e-voting happens, there is a condition that Mary brought up that it has to have been fully discussed. If it wasn't fully discussed, then the chair is not even going to submit it for e-voting. If it hasn't been adequately discussed by everybody, it's not going to pass the e-voting rules. And we're now going to talk about the e-voting rules and make sure that they're adequate to those purposes that it was set up to accept. So this is basically saying, and so that's why the language in A is actually closer. It's just saying it is subject to the rules of motions, whether it's e-voting. We may come up with some other kind of donkey some other day in the future that is neither e-voting nor voting at the next GNSO meeting. I don't know what. But basically, I'm saying we don't build rules that have firewalls against other possible rules. And I've become convinced during this discussion that leaving it as it is leaves it open to gaming of somebody saying, ha, 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 you were late. Yes, I know this has to be done by 3 weeks from now, not 4 weeks from now, but you were late, and so therefore I'm going to vote against your against accepting it, and by doing that, I'm going to have effectively blocked this from ever happening because you have to wait to the next meeting because it says shall be considered at the next meeting. And Cintra, I thank you for the attempts of May, but May it just makes it sort of fuzzy. And in fact, I don't know because obviously Greg's a lawyer and knows better than me, but May could possibly damage his intent of saying, hey, this is ready for, at least for the next meeting. So I really prefer something that like Thomas was offering, and he offered several paths of it, that sort of say, it's great to say that it's qualified for the next meeting, and it will be voted on according to the rules of the operating procedures on motion. And then if we do create the other rule, that's fine. It may apply. If we don't create the other rule, then it doesn't matter. So I've become convinced in this discussion that it's important. And therefore, even though I said at the beginning that I wouldn't withhold my consensus on it, I've realized listening to Greg's arguments and listening to the whole conversation that I was wrong. Thanks.
Thanks, Avery. Very helpful. I'd like to ask, I see Greg's hand, but I'd like to ask ask if we might do a straw poll, just to get a sense of you know, we're a limited number on this call, obviously, but the straw poll would look like this. If you like option A, you would click on agree. If you like option B, you would click on disagree. And if you don't like either option and it needs more work, you would click on step away. So there's three choices. The green check mark is for A, the X is for B, and neither of the two, meaning it needs more work, would be step away. So if you guys could just give me your sense of which one you like most, that would give us a sense of where we're at. So, Lori, if you look under your check marks up above, you'll see a little man standing. If you open that up, you can click on there and you can make your choice. Thank you, Lori. Wolf Ulrich, can I ask you to make a choice on one of these to get a sense? The green check mark is option A. The red X is option B. Very good. Okay, so generally we're kind of leaning that way. Thank you all. You can clear those check marks. That's very helpful. I would suggest that what we do now is ask the subgroup just to come back with some refinements on the language that we've discussed right now, because I do want to take a couple minutes on e-voting, even though its time is short. So if you would agree that the subgroup will take that back, and I'm not sure, Greg, if you're I think you're leading that, but maybe Thomas might join you, Avery, Ann, to give you some assistance on that. And if the three or four of you could then kind of work through that wordsmithing to come up with something you're all comfortable with, I think the majority of us also would be comfortable with that on the committee. So with that, we'll close that one out. Thank you very much, Greg, for allowing me to take away your speaking rights in that last one. But I do want to take a couple of minutes on electronic voting. And I believe that was Thomas and Avery, and I'm not sure who else was on that. But if you could just give us some thoughts on that, on e-voting, that would be very helpful, please. Avery or Thomas?
Thomas, you were sort of our leader for most of it, so, and I've been talking too much.
Yes, this is Thomas. My difficulty is that I was on vacation recently, so I might not even have the latest information on this.
Recall exactly. That was being sent to you, Thomas. I recall seeing that. So, Avery,
okay.
You wouldn't mind. Yeah, thank
sure.
you.
Unless you'd like it, Anne. But, okay, so it's not much time. Okay, so we agree that the argument was first that there may be cases when GNSO counsel voting out of a meeting is either necessary or desirable. And then we came up with a couple illustrative examples, non-exhaustive. For example, there was substantive discussion either in counsel or both in counsel on mailings, but there was no time for a vote at the end of the meeting. Like today, we talked and talked and talked and didn't have time for the vote. Or that we've done, but as and in the example I used earlier, someone really needs to go back because there's been an amendment, there's been something, they need to go back to their you know, stakeholders and say, hey, I need advice. And then the other example that I used is this needs to be done before the next meeting, either because there's been, you know, there's some other outside influence that's basically saying, hey, you know, we need a decision from you guys, and a month between meetings, you know, the board's going to act on this in 3 weeks, and we need your answer. So, and that's not exhausted. So, then, so for voting outside the meeting, first the chair determines, after discussion, et cetera, you know, that, yep, we've talked about it, nobody has any more issues, this is done on the list, or it's done in the meeting, nobody's got any more issues, and the chair determines, yep, this one is ready to be voted on. The chair has also accepted that it meets a condition that waiting until the next meeting is too long and that, therefore, something needs to be done quicker, either call a special meeting or, in this case, if this exists, e-vote. Again, like the previous things that we've done, there's unanimity on the fact that this can go to e-voting. No counselor raises their hand and says no, and that the chair gives at least 7 days advance notice of the vote. So then, basically, the third point is that it meets the same conditions of a vote, that it's open, and as this is not a secret ballot, because all votes in council are open, this is an open vote. Also, it allows for the inclusion of voting statements in accordance with the current operating procedures, and that outcomes are published and recorded with accompanying voter statements, just like as if it had been done. So the conditions in three are basically meant to say it satisfies all the conditions of happening during a council meeting. Then the methods used to transmit outside meetings are authenticated and verifiable using the same criteria and applying same standards as those used for absentee ballots under the operating system. So also
piggybacking.
Piggybacking.
I think Aubrey, we're all clear.
Right. And then for avoidance of doubt, basically, if this is a PDP vote for which there is already absentee ballot rules, this does not apply.
Thank you, Aubrey. For my part, I really appreciate the work that was done on this piece. I like it. I think it's strong, and it really kind of approaches exactly the type of thing that we were asked to do. I'd like to ask those on the call, because we just have a minute or two to go, just again, to do another straw poll. And the straw poll this time will be, I agree with the direction this is going, and I like what I'm seeing, is the agree sign. And the disagree sign is interesting, but we've got a long ways to go. So if I can see the agrees or disagrees, agree is I like what I'm seeing, and disagrees is we got a long ways to go. Okay, Sintra is also saying we have some work to do. Okay, so I'd like to hear from Greg and Sintra first, please, and then Greg. And we can remove the checks. So if I can hear from Sintra first, and then Greg, and then Aubrey, if in fact you'd like to speak.
No, that was an accident.
All right, fine. Thank you. So Sintra, you have the floor. You may be having trouble coming off of mute. While we're waiting for Sintra, she's actually typing something here now into the chat. So no connection problems. Okay, very good. So Cintra will type what her thoughts are in the chat. Greg, please, why are you negative on the text you're looking at? Please go ahead.
I really only have one concern, actually, overall. I think it's a good outline. My concern is that it isn't really until almost the end of the document that we mention motions. And I think it needs to be more clear throughout that that the vote needs to take place pursuant to a motion that's properly before the council in the first place, or if it's a – there are a few instances when there are votes that aren't predicated on motions. I was just running through the GNSO procedures on that, for instance, the vote for a chair or a vice chair or a vote for special circumstances don't technically, it seemed, to be mentioned as being triggered by motions, but even those in practice are probably triggered by, you know, a motion for the chair or a motion to consider special circumstances. So whole discussion of voting, I think, needs to be tied back to the notion that you're of what you're voting on. Thank you. Which is a motion.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Greg. all right, so we're at the hour, and it's time to draw this call to a close. So what I'd ask is Thomas and Avery, who've done really great work on this email voting, if you might take into account Greg's
and
comments and perhaps – I'm sorry?
And Anne,
thank you very much, as well as Cintra had some thoughts that she wasn't able to vocalize. So I wonder if she might also just send a mail to you guys, and we can tweak this document so that when we get to London for our next meeting, we actually have some a document we might be able to finalize, because I think we're very close on this one as well. And I would like to see it. Now we've had such a thorough discussion of the waivers, exceptions prior to this, and now with that discussion tied into this one, although we all agree that these are separate issues, there is some symbiosis between them that it would be nice if we could harmonize that. So that would be the way I'd like to see that one go, if I may. Mary, I see your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Ron. Just a quick question and confirmation. So given where we are, would the next meeting of this, the SGI, be on the Saturday when the London meeting begins rather than that the Tuesday of that week?
That's my understanding, yes.
Yes.
That's it, Mary. It'll be the face-to-face meeting where we'll take this up again. Okay. So is there any other thoughts or comments someone would like to bring up? I see your hand up. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just basically, so perhaps we can schedule a call, though, of the people that are going to talk about this sometime between now and then, Mary, and we can work out when. But perhaps, and perhaps, Greg, since maybe we can have a meeting where we just talk both of these things and you know, deal with the language issues.
That would be ideal, yes, absolutely, and I would encourage that. So I look to our staff, colleagues, to coordinate that call in. I see Anne, I see Greg, and then we'll complete the call today. Please go ahead, Anne.
Yes, thanks, Ron. I noticed that Cintra's question related to whether there's a quorum requirement that is a problem in relation to the email voting proposed change. And I guess I would need to rely on Mary to look at the bylaws in relation to what constitutes a quorum that's necessary to vote. Cintra has raised quorum.
Thanks, Anne. Yeah. So, staff, anyone want to respond to quorum? Mary is saying Section 4.1. of the GNSO operating procedures, to be precise. So that's there. Greg, please go ahead.
My last note was just with regard to the final Section 6, why this section would not apply to votes for which absentee ballots would be permitted, which include, you know, approving a PDP recommendation, for instance. I mean, wouldn't we want to also allow email voting for those as well?
Yes, I think for my part, I think these should be holistic. Anything where we're doing a tweak should be holistic, and it should be something that's harmonized across all of the activities of ICANN. So I wouldn't see why we wouldn't want to have that. But I am a non-lawyer, and many of you are lawyers. I see Mary has her hand up. Mary, your thoughts on that?
Thanks, Ron. And Ari, Ann, or Thomas can jump in here. The subgroup did have a fairly lengthy discussion about this very point, and I believe the consensus was that because there is already a very detailed provision for absentee ballots, that's one reason. The second reason is that absentee ballots really are only permitted for certain types of votes, but that's less primary reason than the first. And if we go back to the first reason, there is a provision that you have 72 hours, and that kind of vote is done electronically. So the subgroup felt that those were adequately taken care of by the absentee ballots provision, such that this really would deal with a completely different situation.
Very good, Mary. That's good. So effectively what I'm hearing is we actually are tightening all of these elements up, and the loopholes were kind of closing. It's all very good in my view. So thank you very much for that. And we're now way past the hour, and I know everyone has things they need to get on to. So I'm going to draw this call to a close and ask that the further discussion on the electronic voting and continues for our London meeting. And if you can coordinate with the group that's working on the waivers exceptions to make sure that all of that language works well together, that would be very helpful. If there's any other business anyone would like to bring to the committee at this point, the floor is open. Hearing none, I want to thank everyone for this really, really good work. It's always a pleasure to see this stuff kind of just get taken down to the very last letter and then finalized, and that's the kind of stuff we're doing, and it's very much appreciated. So I'll say goodbye to everyone, and look forward to seeing all of you, or as many of you as possible, in London at 7:30 on that Saturday morning. It's awful, but unfortunately, that's the only slot we have, and listen, somebody's going to kick off the ICANN meeting. It may as well be the SCI. Thanks, everyone. All the best, and talk to you soon.
Bye-bye. Thanks, everyone. Bye. Good travels.
Sterling, if you can please stop the recording.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That does conclude today's conference call. Please disconnect all remaining lines at this time.